Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise in Business, where every week you will learn the secrets to running a business without the stress. Here is your host, Angela Council.
Welcome to this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise in Business, where every week we get together to share the joys of running a business, raising a family, and doing it all without all of the stress. And this week's guest is someone very, very special. She's actually a dear friend of mine and she's got a great story to tell. And I want everyone to know more about what she does and the product that she brings to the market because it really makes a difference. And this is more on our health side today. So I would like to introduce Alison Bell from Broth of Life. So thanks for joining us today, Alison.
Hi, Angela. Thank you so much for having me. I'm pretty excited to be here.
Great. Well, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your story? Because you sell broth now, but that's not what you've been doing all of your life. I mean, I know it's relatively new for you because you've come from a totally different world from where you were before to where you are now. And it's been a journey. So do you want to share some of that journey with our listeners?
Yeah, sure. It's most certainly a different world, and I never in my wildest dreams ever would have expected to be manufacturing bone broth and trying to help people heal themselves. My journey started, I can say, right back when I was 8 years old, when I got a tennis racket in my hand, and it very quickly escalated to becoming a full-time gig, and I was a professional tennis player for many years. Travelled the world playing a sport I love. It was pretty spectacular. Three shoulder injuries, and that was the end of that. And it was like, ooh, well, what happens now? You know, life throws you some curveballs. When that's all you've done and all you know, it's quite tricky. So I dappled around a little while and eventually found a place in computer science and worked the corporate world, as most people do. And I think I was just doing what was expected of me. So long hours, great money, was living the high life. Met my fabulous partner, Ada, who's in the business with me. And she was also corporate, so we were both working long hours, partying hard, working hard, partying hard, working hard, having a great time, really. Then progressed, as most do, deciding that it was time to start a family. Ada being someone who always gets what she wants, she always wanted more than one child. I only ever wanted one. She definitely wanted more than one. So the universe provided identical twin boys, and that set us on a very, very different path. It was an extraordinary, challenging time. Definitely something to recover from, not something that is to be taken lightly. We definitely came across some health issues at this point with the family, and we did find Jasper one day. He was face down in his cot, dead for all money. He was grey, he was completely limp, and it was something I'd never, no parent should ever experience this. All I'd done was walk away for 1 minute to check an email, literally 1 minute, because Ada, I know it was 1 minute because Ada was boiling the kettle to warm up some milk. And I came back in and found him in this state and picked up this completely limp, lifeless body. Just didn't know what to do, just screamed, carried him down the stairs. And the paramedics informed me that as I carried him down the stairs, I jolted his body and that got an extra gasp of air into his lungs, which is what kept him alive. They did their magic. They brought him back for us. And unfortunately, at this point, his behaviour changed quite dramatically. We just noticed there were some distinct differences in his behaviour. He would have tantrums that would sort of go to 4 hours. They were very violent and very physical. And I'd be bracing him and rocking and trying to calm him down. And he was just inconsolable. And as he was growing and getting older, these became more and more challenging. As he was stronger and he could start doing some damage. We've got sort of holes in the walls and doors that have come off hinges and all kinds of things that he's managed to do. So the more doctors we turned to, the less answers we got. We started looking at things like Ritalin, which to me was just not acceptable for a four-year-old boy. Eventually we found an integrative doctor. It was the right avenue for us. But along the way, this was catalyst to some massive shifts in our diet and our lifestyle, which have been fantastic for all of us. But he definitely now is thriving in school. He's in first grade, and we never thought we'd see him in mainstream school. So the turnaround just from some very simple lifestyle changes is quite phenomenal. He's definitely, we've removed all additives, all preservatives, all sugars, and certainly learnt that it really is coming all from his gut health. And there's still a lot of work to go there.
Mm.
So that slowly led us towards bone broth, which, yeah, big story.
Magical stuff.
Certainly is. It certainly is. Look, I would never say this is the pill that's going to fix your life forevermore. It is a combination of so many things. But it certainly is helping him heal and helping all of us. You know, we've all got our own health issues to deal with, and the entire family is benefiting from having bone broth available to us all the time.
So how did it come that you managed now to be running a dehydrated bone broth? Because you were first to market to be doing this, weren't you?
Yes, we were first. It was a beautiful dear friend of ours, Micheline, who came up with this wonderful idea of dehydrating the bone broth. And she was running the business herself out of Tasmania, and she was sort of travelling 20 clicks one way to go and get the bones and 20 clicks the other way to get the vegetables and 35 clicks another direction to go to the post office. And she got to a point where she rang us up and just said, I'm done, I'm going to sell it. And it's very unusual for me to be impulsive, and I stood up immediately and went, Ada, let's buy this. Let's find a way to either support Micheline to keep this going herself and become silent partners or do anything so she can keep it going, or I want to buy it. That's it. I want to do this. I'm done with corporate. I want out. This sounds brilliant. So that's how it came about.
And because both you and Ada walked out of corporate to make this business work, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. It was certainly a big leap of faith and quite scary. We weren't quite sure how that was going to all turn around, but every now and then you just have a feeling that something's right, and you've got to go with it. You've got to trust it. You've got to have faith. We're definitely doing big dollars and enjoying corporate.
And not only did you walked away from that safety and security, it was a startup business for a brand new idea.
Yes, it was a pretty small business when we bought it, and I've got to say there's been a lot of blood, sweat and tears, very literally blood, sweat and tears. not just the cows or the chickens. It's definitely been ours as well.
Because bone broth is a very, it's an odd, for anyone who's listening who's never heard of bone broth, I think you must be under a rock, but it's a very old traditional remedy that's becoming more and more popular. And, you know, in the past, if you'd ever, you know, your grandmother was probably making soup out of soup bones and stuff like that. So that's kind of where all this stuff comes from. So it's now becoming more and more popular, but people don't necessarily have the time to make their own broth. So having a dehydrated broth is great because they can basically just buy a jar of this stuff and add it. They can add it to their food because you have so many different ways you can use it and just drink it and add it into your cooking. So you're getting all the healing benefits. So can you tell us the healing benefits of bone broth? Why is bone broth so great for people? What does it do?
Look, there's many ways that it helps people. The big kahuna, the main thing, is for the gut health and for a leaky gut. And the words a leaky gut are sort of thrown around a lot lately, and a lot of people aren't sure what that means. And if you're in the medical world, they call it gut permeability. They hate the term leaky gut.
Oh, that's because that's what naturopaths call it, so.
Yes, yeah. But, I mean, the best analogy that I heard and I found easiest to understand was to think of the gut lining similar to that of a fly screen. And eventually, through your lifestyle and your food choices, the fly screen gets some little holes. And instead of keeping all the bugs and the nasties out, some of those nasty toxins are now travelling through the gut lining, through that fly screen, and going into the bloodstream and causing all kinds of havoc. You know, they're sort of starting the autoimmune diseases, causing irritable bowel syndrome. They're now finding, the more they're studying the microbiome and the bacteria that live there, it's causing a lot of the mental disorders with the gut-brain axis. It's starting to become responsible for a lot of things, everything in our gut. And they're finally getting all that evidence there. So I think we're going to see a really big shift in medicine over the next 10 years.
I totally agree, and I mean, I think it's about time medicine caught up with us naturopaths. We've been leading the way for so many years and being told that we don't know what we're talking about, and all of a sudden we do because science has told us, but we won't go off on that tangent.
That'll be a whole new podcast, whole new episode.
So tell us, we can make, go ahead.
The bone broth acts like a spack filler and patches up those little holes, and that's due to the high gelatin content. And so that's how it's keeping the nasty stuff inside the intestines where it should be so it can get cleansed, and that's the main big advantage of bone broth.
And it's not just a matter of, I mean, it is a matter of grabbing bones and just sticking it in water, but we've got to be very careful about what we're using as our ingredients, don't we? If we're making bone broth, and this is one of the things that you're very, very particular about, is that you don't just go and get the old bones from the farmer who's brought his cows up on, you know, all this chemical stuff and everything like that. You're very particular about what goes into your broth. Explain to our listeners what your broth is and why it's so much different to other people on the market, or even what a lot of people might be doing at home because they don't know anything different.
Yeah, sure. Look, there's two things we really focus on. And firstly is definitely the quality of bone. It's so important to be using organic grass-fed bones. And that's simply because the whole purpose of the bone broth is to extract all the nutrients out of the bones and from the marrow. And that is where toxins and nasties are stored. So if the cattle has been pumped with hormones, pumped with antibiotics, fed grain feed, which is just not natural, and the grain feed is then why they require the antibiotics in the first place, then we end up just absorbing all of that from the animal. So it kind of defeats the purpose of having bone broth in the first place. Secondly, I believe there's an energy that comes through from food and from cooking. And I think energetically, the way the cattle have been treated is extremely important also. So I had a very long chat with our butcher, and he explained to me that he owns the cattle that we are purchasing, and he makes sure for several months before D-Day, the cattle are hugged. They all have names. They're hugged. They're spoken to for a minimum of 2 hours a day. There are trucks that come in for 2 to 3 months prior to going to the abattoir, so that the cattle will see the truck, and the first time they see it, they're petrified. They don't want to walk on that truck. You know, so stress hormones are through the roof as they walk on that truck. But he walks them on, gets them used to it, and then walks them off. And the next day, the truck will come back again, and they walk on again, and they walk off. And so it happens again the next week. On they go, off they go. So by the time it comes time to go to the abattoir, they see a truck and think nothing of it, and happily walk on in, going, yeah, this is cool, this is fine. He also makes sure that truck, after every 2 hours, will stop and the cattle walk off and they graze and they eat naturally. So if they're on a long-haul trip, there's absolutely no lot feed in the truck. They're not sitting there crammed, standing in their own feces, just being fed up to keep pumping them up. That cattle get off and they have fresh air and they have fresh grass and they get back on. And I really think that that's a really important part of what comes through energetically in what we eat. So I find that incredibly important. The second big thing that would separate us is, as mentioned earlier, I'm pretty new to this whole food manufacturing industry. And we've brought on some people that certainly have a lot more experience in that area to help guide us. And I have been utterly horrified at what can happen to our food, even under an organic label, but still pass and doesn't need to be on any sense of labelling. One of the first things I found that happened was our hot liquid was poured into a food safe plastic tub and I nearly went through the roof. I said, no, it must be stainless steel or metal. You can't be putting it into plastic, which is instantly, but it's food grade. Doesn't matter. There's endocrine disruptors happening there. You're taking away the whole purpose of what I'm trying to help people with. And we were informed that if we were to be audited, that the plastic food grade is what would pass, and the stainless steel became quite challenging to find something that will pass an audit, and 5 times more expensive, of course. Following on from that, we also learnt that we looked at outsourcing some dehydration processing, and we found that instantly people wanted to add maltodextrin, thickeners, all kinds of stuff to help the dehydration process to be easier for them. I'm like, well, no, we're not putting any kind of corn in there. We're not putting any kind of wheat in there. We're not putting anything else in there. And they're all saying, oh, doesn't matter. It's under 2%. It doesn't need to go on the label. I'm like, no. I refuse. No. I was, my jaw was on the ground. I was just stunned. This was followed by people looking at the dry product saying, oh, you really need a bit of an anti-caking agent in there. We need to make that look more symmetrical and a bit more appealing to the eye as a dry product. And each jar needs to look exactly the same. At the moment, they're all a bit different because you haven't got that anti-caking in there. And again, it doesn't need to be on the label. I'm stunned. I'm absolutely gobsmacked. As a natural thickener, the option was provided of using tomato paste. So I thought, we'll see. But again, on the label, we would only need to write the word organic tomatoes.
Mm.
You don't need to mention any other ingredient that is in tomato paste to make it a paste. So again, no, we just won't go there. We refuse to change or compromise the bone broth quality because it is really for healing. I think of this as a medicinal food, not something that necessarily has to taste fabulous or look fabulous or smell fabulous. This is to help you heal.
That's actually an interesting thing you say that, because I actually had a conversation, and it was particularly about your bone broth, about that. They go, well, it tastes terrible, and it costs a lot of money. And I went, and what about your herbs? They taste terrible. And some would say they cost a lot of money. And they go, oh, yeah, but they're for healing. I said, that's exactly what this product's for. It's not about having a nice tasting food. Yeah, like it's great if it tastes nice, and they don't all taste that bad. The chicken one's nice. Big one I'm not real fast on, but it's the reason why you're taking it. You're having it as a medicine. You're having it for healing, as opposed to it's like soup. It's not just like a soup. And I think that's one of the things, one of the messages that to get across, because now particularly as you've got a bit of competition coming up into the market, because there's other products out there that are basically, well, they're doing it cheaper, which means we have to be questioning where they're getting their bones, what their process is to be able to do it cheaper, because your process, and I know, is a highly manual and labor intensive process, which is one of the, and plus the fact you're so fussy about what goes into that jar, it's one of the reason that, you know, puts the prices up. But you've got competition who are undercutting your prices, but we don't know all the stuff that's going into that. And they're kind of almost selling that as a food item as opposed to a therapy item.
Yeah, look, some people love drinking our bone broth. Some people can't stand drinking it. But one of the big advantages of it being a dehydrated product is that it's got lots of versatility. You can eat it straight off the spoon. Most people are incredibly surprised that they enjoy eating it straight off the spoon as a dry product.
Not the beef one. Chicken one, yeah, not the beef one.
That's just not for you. See, for me, I like beef. I don't like
Come on, they're bones.
There's no bones in there.
No, but that's what it started off as. It was bones. Come on, like it's like, of course it's not going to, I don't expect it to taste good. It's boiled bones. Come on. And vegetables.
A lot of people sprinkle it on top of their food like a seasoning, I think that's particularly a lot of parents with kids that are, they're desperate to get this into their kids. And invariably trying to get kids to drink bone broth is extremely challenging. So you sort of can put it on top of a bolognese sauce and it just melts in and nobody's even aware it's there. You can also sneak it into smoothies. That's a common one. It sounds horrible, but you cannot taste it. You're unaware it's there because it will only dissolve into that brothy, liquidy smell and taste if you add boiling water.
Oh, okay.
So when you pop it in a smoothie, it's kind of like having little bacon bits in there. It's not at all overpowering. You won't even notice that it's there.
I'll try it in my lunch today. I'm having a smoothie for lunch today. I'll try it. I'll come back and tell you.
Yeah, definitely. Let me know how it goes. I might sneak some beef in there one day and you won't know about that either.
Oh, no, I've got beef here as well. I have beef and chicken.
Fantastic.
So, and what is it? Tell me, as a business owner, what is it like all of a sudden having this competition, and particularly when a lot of it is around pricing? You know, how, because I know that you're not going to give on your philosophy and your standards. So that, how does that kind of work for you as a business?
Look, admittedly, when I first found out, I went into full-blown panic mode and freaked out. I'll be the first to admit that. But as I settled down and then I actually, you know, looked at the other products, tasted the other products, And I realized there's a difference. We're all different. And so the people that are enjoying that product and prefer that product, I'm completely happy with that because it's a very different to what we're offering. It's extremely different.
Yeah.
And everyone likes variety. Everyone likes choice. You know, it's sort of, there's always going to be a different people that follow you or follow your product or your brand for various reasons. So I calmed down initially. I think I initially really panicked because it was the first time I'd experienced competition.
Yeah. Except when you're on the tennis court. And then, then you beat them.
And that's different because that's all about me, right? Whereas this is definitely not all about me. It's completely different. So yeah, I'm certainly learning a lot as a business owner. And look, there's enough room in this world for many bone broth businesses. Yeah, I encourage people to make their own bone broth. So that could be taking a business away from myself right there. Anyone asks me a question about how to make their own or how to make it better, I'm more than willing to help them. I just want people having bone broth that's going to be helping them heal. That's really what I care about. I want them to be getting the right ingredients and the right gelatin and the right nutrients out of their bone broth so they can heal and they're taking it for the right reasons.
I mean, and you've even got the recipe up on your website, haven't you? One of your blogs has got the recipe of how to make bone broth.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's so many people that question me, and I can't get it to gel. How do you get it to gel? And some other common questions that come through. So I thought, well, you know, let's put it out there on a blog. Let me help these people. I don't care if our broth's in your pantry as a backup if you're making your own. I'd just love to see everyone having one cup a day. I think it just does wonders.
And I think that's what business is really about. And it is about not, you don't, there's no point worrying about people copying because someone's going to copy, and really you are who you are. You and Ada have built this business based on who you are and your ethics and your philosophy. And it's no point getting kind of precious about anything. And if someone can come to you and know that, because I know that you write some fantastic blogs, you have lots of blogs out there, and you're all about sharing the information around health, and people will then just go, because you know, lots of people don't have, I mean, I make my own broth, but sometimes I don't, so it's easier for me just to have your broth. It's sitting there for when I haven't made my own broth because I couldn't be bothered, I don't have the time or whatever. It's like, you know, I think that's what people will do because they have that relationship and they know that you're passionate about getting people healthy and using broth to do that.
Yeah, look, I love sharing information. I'd love it to be an educational hub as much as just I don't want it to be a sales site. You know, I'm about educating people and helping people. And I love watching people get better. It lights me up. So absolutely, I definitely love helping people get themselves better.
But we would like to sell a little bit of broth. So tell people where they can find you if they really want to get some really great tasting. And because you don't just do broth either. You do a few other products as well.
Yeah, look, our number one seller is chicken salt.
And it's real chicken salt. It's not that crappy stuff you get from the chip shop.
No, but it tastes just the same. So we took the chicken broth and we mixed it in with some really good quality Himalayan salt. And it took a while to find the right ratio, and oh wow, it's just fantastic. On if you get sweet potato chips, oh, it's fantastic.
You're making me hungry. It's nearly lunchtime.
And I also had a look around. I've got a lot of vegetarian friends, and I've had a lot of requests for some vegan broth, which I haven't quite got there yet. But I did get vegetable stock going because I had a look at the ingredients on so many vegetable stock packets. And there was always sugar, there was usually a filler, there was usually maltodextrin,
MSG.
There was yeast extract.
Yep.
I was just horrified. I thought, why can't this just be vegetables and salt? I don't understand. So we put that together as well, and that's been remarkably popular. Many people actually combine the vegetable stock with the bone broth. So
that'll give it a nicer taste.
That's right. It gives it a really intense stock flavour.
Yeah.
And then you're still getting the nutrient density of the bone broth when you put the two together. But, yeah, you can find us online. We're at www.brothoflife.com.au. And we've got a very active Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/brothoflife. We've also got Instagram, which is just brothoflife. But pretty much you can find everything, all those links on our website. Mm-hmm. It's easiest to get to us from there.
We just go to Broth of Life and we'll find you.
You will if you just Google Broth of Life.
Right, that's right. But it's been great to talk to you today, Alison, just to hear your story and also from a business point of view of how you've evolved something from really having no idea anything. I mean, to go into food manufacturing and you guys had no idea, to where you've got it now, where that, you know, you've actually got people who are copying what you do, not very well, but they're copying what you do. And you've done that in a relatively short time period. I know it's only happened in the last couple of years. So from a business point of view, I think, you know, I think it will also help our listeners just to kind of know that you don't have to worry about other people coming in and copying what you're doing. You just stick to your philosophy about why you do what you do. And just be really clear, because you are so clear on the purpose of your product and your business. And it's not about the actual bone broth. It's about helping people heal. And, you know, the bone broth is the vehicle to make that happen. And I love your conviction in what you do. I also love the fact that the cows are hugged every day.
I'm just out there hugging them.
And that gave me goosebumps because, you know, it's not just you that has this belief. You've also made sure of that from your suppliers as well. Yeah. And a lot of, I'm sure there's lots of manufacturers out there who really have no idea what happens with any of their product before it arrives into their factory. But you've actually gone and spoken to the butcher and spoken to him about how his animals are treated. And I love that. And I've actually do that. I have my butcher and I know that all the meat he has comes off his farm and I know how it's treated. And I know that he is so respectful of his animals. And knowing that, you know, okay, I'm a meat eater, always have been, always will be. But knowing that, you know, where your supply is coming from, I agree with you, the energy of the food. You know, if we've got this nice energy coming through, this stress-free energy, then that's only going to make our bodies feel better as we love, you know, we give thanks to the animal that gave its life for us to survive and that energy exchange. I love what you guys are doing. Absolutely think it's fantastic. And I've been there with some of the struggles you've been having with all this stuff, but you don't give on your values. And that's it. And I know there's been times both of you have thought, we're going to walk away from this because it's too hard, but you haven't given on your values. And that's probably the biggest message that I've got from talking to you today, and I hope our listeners have got, is that whatever you believe in, don't worry about what the rest of the world is doing. Just stick to your values. And when you do that, it will all work out okay.
That's very true. When you stick with that, it feels right. Mm. Certainly there were times there where I doubted it and I wondered, right, maybe I just need to become a food manufacturer now and adjust those values and change my ethics a little and just bend them ever so slightly. Not much, just a little bit. And then I realised it didn't sit with me. And if it didn't sit right with me, how could I go out there and promote this product that I believe in completely? And suddenly I wouldn't believe in it completely. Mm. It wasn't right.
And that's just going to cause you stress anyway, which then makes you sick and your gut's not working and just starts it all over again.
It does. It's a vicious cycle.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us. And as Alison said, if you want to find out more about what she's doing with Broth of Life, just go over and pop over to her website. Have a look. She's got lots of resources on there. She Alison's actually a fantastic writer. Some of the things she didn't mention. She writes unbelievably well, even when she's not doing all the technical stuff about gut biome and stuff like that. She's a fantastic writer. So go and read some of the resources and the blogs that she's put over there. And if you've got any questions about broth or whether or not you use broth or just want to make a comment about this episode, please leave them in the comments below this post on www.angelacouncil.com. If you happen to be listening to us over on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, leave us a review and a rating. Let everybody know what you thought of this episode, because the more you share what you liked and what you don't like, the more people get to know about what we're doing here at Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. So until next week, when we'll be back with more great information from someone else who's going to share with you what they do in their business, how they manage the stress, do it all. From my heart to yours, infinite love and gratitude. Bye for now. Thanks for joining us today on this episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. As always, if you've got any comments, please feel free to leave them on the website, www.angelacouncil.com. While you're over there, you can also grab your 14-day stress-free living challenge. And if you'd like to learn a little bit more about what I do, why not pop into our private Facebook group called Stress-Free Living. So until next week, when I'll be back with some more exciting information for you, from my heart to yours, infinite love and gratitude. Bye for now.